praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our risen King. Hallelujah.
Praise God. That's the sound of victory. Victory because Jesus rose from the dead. He did it for us. 3 days ago, he went at Villa De Rosa, beaten beyond recognition. Spikes put in his hands and feet. Nailed to the cross, one of the most extremely painful ways to die. Scourged, which means his back was ripped open to the bone.
Have a glorious day today. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." He had to do no more. But God wasn't done yet. He brought Jesus back to life, the full resurrected body, and says, "This is for you," because he loved us so much to do all that. As I said earlier, no other spiritual belief has a risen Lord. No other spiritual belief has a God that died for them. The ultimate sacrifice. We don't really understand all that went into that. But even though he didn't want to do it, he did it because he loved each one of us so much. And in return, we praise, worship, we glorify him, and thank him for all he's done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Whew. Okay. Happy Resurrection Day, or Easter Day, whatever you decide to call it. The most important date in history we're honoring today. This date demarked everything. Can you imagine the look on Satan's face when he thought he had killed the Son of God? When he thought he had victory? And what the devil meant for bad, God used for good. The devil thought killing Jesus was a bad thing for us. But God was not finished. He brought Jesus back to life. And out of this message today, I want to encourage you that just as God brought Jesus back to life and took everything away, all the pain came away from Jesus, he'll do the same thing for you. God is no respecter of persons. He loves you. Whatever pain or torment the devil's trying to put on you, Jesus has already paid the price for it. You don't owe that price anymore. If I sent you a gift card to your favorite restaurant, when the meal came, you pulled that gift card out and used that for payment, you wouldn't have to pay anything. It's paid for. Jesus has already paid. I don't care what you've done, what mistakes you've done, what's problems in the past. Jesus has paid that price. So today we're going to receive everything Jesus has for us. That's why he did this, was to bless us. And too many of us are not receiving his blessings. Let the devil say, "You're not worthy." Well, you are worthy. Why? Because Jesus paid the price. Who decides who's worthy? Jesus decides who's worthy. He paid the price. We don't decide if we're worthy or not. The buyer always decides the price. Go to a car lot. They can name a price. If I don't like it, I can walk away. The price was named. Jesus said, "Okay, I'll pay it." Your price has been paid for. So we go forward today. This is titled Wait with Glad Expectations, Part 4. I want you to realize that for thousands of years, people waited for Jesus to come. And they waited. When he came, some didn't receive him. They didn't take the fact that he paid for them. They're not with him now. Those who received Jesus are with him now. Now, Pastor Karen's father passed away recently, as most of you know, and we had the celebration of life yesterday. It was a beautiful time. And I got to tell the story that I was the last person to talk to Dad, as I called him Dad, before he went back to the hospital the last time. Or before he went back to the hospital, we never came out again. But, and during the course of that conversation, he knew he was toward the end of his time here on Earth. And he said to me, he says, you know, you come in with nothing, you go out with nothing. And I said, Dad, because of you, people ministered to you from the Philippines, North, Central, South America, Africa, Poland, India, who knows how many other nations, because of the people that he's gone personally to, with others he's sponsored and supported. I says, how many tens upon thousands of people know Jesus because of what you did? The biggest smile I ever saw came upon him. And later that night, he started his process to go to heaven. It was a few weeks later before he finally went all the way, but he started his process. But he knew he was going to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Our goal today is to get you to the point where you know that you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We're going to wait upon the Lord. We're going to expect victories in our lives. We're going to be a leading for other people to come to know God. Because in the end result, it's not how much money you have down here on earth that matters. It's what you've done that the Lord asked you to do. That's how you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Okay. All right, praise the Lord. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait with glad expectations, part four. We're going to do a quick review of some of this. God's promises are conditional. So if you obey the conditions specific to a promise, you'll receive that promise. Now, many people try to shortcut things. God is very exact in his details. When he tells you to do something, he expects you every single detail about it. If you ever read about how they built the temple, there's so many details. How about when Noah built the ark? There were so many details. Every one had to be done or the ark wouldn't have floated, right? Okay. We're going to work on getting to know God, hear his voice, and listen to what he has to say for you. Okay?
Amen. Pastor Karen? So, we've been teaching this on Wednesday nights, but on Sunday, this is the first Sunday we've presented this. So, there are some people who haven't heard it, so we will do the review. And then you can go back online so that you could hear the detailed ministry, which will be very important to you. And then we're going to expound on it because it's really important that we wait with glad expectation for the second coming of Jesus, because we know he is risen. He has already taken the keys away from Satan and overcome death, hell, and the grave. That means that we have glad expectation that we will have life and life eternally, and that we will be able to fulfill our destiny on this earth to go into the world and tell people of the good news that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is risen, Jesus is real, and demonstrate that to him. So, if you go to Isaiah 40, verse 31 in your Bibles, we merged the New King James Version and Amplified Classic. But they that wait, who expect and look for and hope in him upon the Lord. So wait upon the Lord with expectancy, looking for him, hoping in him. You shall renew your strength and power. You shall mount up close to God. With wings as eagles, mount up to the sun, and you shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint or become tired. And you need to have that expectancy that this scripture is happening in your life, and allow that to Take over your body. Take over your mind. So if you're weary, if you're tired, if you're discouraged, if you're depressed, let God's word saturate and renew your mind today that you have eagle's wings. Now you just have to use them. Remember the story about this eagle that the egg fell out of the nest and rolled and rolled and rolled, and it ended up in a farmer's yard with a bunch of chickens. It was a chicken farmer, and it hatches, and it looks at all these other chickens, and it adopts a mama chicken, a mama hen, and starts pecking like a chicken, starts doing other things like chickens, hopping around, and chickens, most of them don't fly. I mean, they don't fly up to the sky and into the sun and up into the mountains, right? They could have a little bit of a, you know, jumping on here and jumping on there, but so an eagle was soaring around after this eagle that ended up in the chicken yard was grown, and he stops and he says, "Hi." And he says, "Why aren't you flying?" And he said, "I can't fly. I'm a chicken." And he says, "You're not a chicken. Come over here. You look like me." And he took him over to the edge of the water, and they look at the reflection, and he says, "I too look like you." He says, "Well, if I can fly, you can fly." And he said, "Let me show you." And he took off, and he was flying, and he said, "You could do this too." And then the other eagle said, "I'm an eagle? I'm not a chicken? My wings can fly? I'm going to try it." And then he was flying. A lot of Christians think they're chickens. They're not flying with the wings that God gave them to soar in the heavenlies. Because we have been made in the image of God. And so therefore, we are born again. And we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and full of the gifts. And we can emulate the fruit of the Spirit and grow in it. But God's Spirit is always inside of us once we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But we've got to use those spiritual wings and take off. And we can now run and not be weary. We can now walk and not faint. Amen. And Strong's Concordance in Hebrew means weight means to bind together like twisting. It's a collective, figuratively, to expect, to gather, look patiently, tarry, wait upon. And Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, by yourself you're unprotected. With a friend you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? It means if you're by yourself and a bunch of, you know, people want to harass you, it's hard to defend yourself. But if you had a buddy, then it would be easier. But if there's three of you, it's really hard to attack someone in threes. And that is like, you know, a cord that has three strands that are braided together isn't easily snapped. Girls know what braids are like. Girls with long hair can braid it, and it just doesn't come out. And so you have the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit in your life, braided together with you, twisted together like in a braid. So we are one together, and when we are one in unity, nothing we imagine to do will be withheld from us. That means the impossible becomes possible for you if you wait correctly on the Lord. And wait meaning to follow Him, not just run ahead and not lag behind. So Webster's Dictionary, the definition of wait is to stay in place. In expectation of, to look forward expectantly, to be ready and available, a state of attitude or watchfulness and expectancy. Number four, wait patiently and with expectation, waiting for something desired, waiting for your prayers to be answered, waiting for a goal to actually happen, waiting for a baby to be born like an expectant mother, and wait until the doors of opportunity open, do you think an expectant mother just says, okay, this baby's going to come, and then after it comes, I'll decide what to name it, and after it comes, I'll decide to assemble the baby crib, and after it comes, I'll buy the diapers, and after it comes, I'll go buy the baby bottles? I don't think so. Every expectant mother that I know had everything ready because that baby's going to need the diapers the minute it's born. It's going to need food the minute it's born. You have to prepare for it. You have to get ready. What are you doing to get ready for your goal, for your miracle, for your answered prayer? Are you in expectation of that? It's already yours. That baby's already in the mama's bun, and it's baking, baking, baking for 9 months. You don't know when exact day. I don't know of hardly any baby that actually came on the date the doctor thought it was going to come. Naturally.
They didn't
maybe
read the calendar.
If there's a surgery.
They didn't read the calendar, right?
They didn't read the calendar. And they didn't get the memo. Some babies have, but we know the season. 9 months is about the season. But you don't know the day or the hour. We know Jesus is coming back. We don't know the exact time on the clock. We don't know the exact day or hour, but we know he's coming back, and we should rejoice and be glad and get ready and prepare and get more souls saved and do what we need to do that God has given us to take care of instead of just be complacent, sit down, and do nothing. Amen?
All right, part B, waiting correctly. Now, wait with a glad expectation means you're waiting correctly. Okay, it means that you're expecting the victory. Now, waiting correctly, postponement, procrastination, complacency. Now, complacency is a big one in the Christian church today. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's the end times, and this is going to happen, and there's nothing I can. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, do what you can do and start taking dominion until Jesus returns. So if he's got a project for you to do, you need to be doing it. You don't want to be caught on the short end of the stick and not hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? Slowing down or rushing or haste, deferment, disappointment, discouraged, depressed, getting tired, giving up. Too many people give up too close to when they're going to victory. You know, just plain quitting. Quitters never win. Okay, I expect everybody here to start taking a winning attitude over every area of their life. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you don't want to be on the other end of this equation when the time does come. So as we go through this today, I want you to think about this. What else does God want me to do? Now, he's not going to put you in anything that's too hard for you to do. It's going to stretch you, but it's not going to be too hard for you to do. It may stretch you more and more and more, but it will not be too hard, because if he has a plan for you, he will also equip you and train you in everything you need to do. Okay? Also, discontentment, lack of faith, doubt, unbelief, impatience. Waiting is not a complacent doing nothing. So we just talked about. We must activate. Activate the word in our lives. Activate the fact that Jesus went to the cross, died for us, was resurrected. We have the most powerful being in the universe inside of us. And we need to activate that power. Now think about this. If somebody is as strong as Superman, but he never uses his power, is it any good? No. Okay? If he uses power for evil, is that, no, that's not good either. But when somebody has that power and does the good things he's supposed to do, and she does the good things she's supposed to do, there is no stopping them. You have that power inside of you. In fact, Jesus said, you will do greater things than he did. That's how much confidence he has in your ability to do things. So as we go through this, step up your belief, step up your faith level, expect victories. You'll see small victories coming, and then growing, but this is what's going to happen, okay? Okay. If patiently expecting in faith, looking forward to seeing what you hope for, has already turned into a manifested reality. You must believe it. For example, every Olympian that thinks they can win the gold sees himself on that platform with their country's flag behind them and their national anthem playing. They visualize that. Okay? Every person who's played any sport that dreams of championships, they visualize that championship. Okay? Every business person sees a successful business, visualizes how well that's going to work. One of my subs had a vision of people being around the block lined up for one of my restaurants. You can ask Karen, they did.
200 people were lined up for three blocks to get in every lunchtime to one of the three Subways that he had. And I was amazed just how many people every single day would just wait, because it wasn't just the food, because they're great sandwiches, and they could have gone to the other two locations he had. But it was so welcoming, and they were singing, they were dancing, they were throwing the bread up, turning around, catching it, making the sandwich. They really got their attention. So he didn't know how that was going to happen, but God did it after he started tithing. He learned how to tithe.
Yeah.
When he started tithing, then God did it. Not by might, not by power.
By his strength.
But by his spirit.
His spirit.
Says the Lord.
Right. Okay. Now, the challenge is that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Okay. And you've been praying for something for a long time. It hasn't come by. Okay. That's when you need to just step it up. You need to make sure you're in the right attitude. Now, think of Joseph in Egypt. Okay. How many years was he in prison? I think it was 17, between slavery and then going to Potiphar's house and going into prison. But what happened? In less than 20 minutes, he went from prisoner to prime minister. Okay?
Amen.
Didn't take that long, but he had to wait for the right timing. What if he went out too soon? You know, he had the chance to go when the other prisoner was supposed to tell the people about him. Didn't matter, because when the pressure was on the king and he was looking at the famine coming, that's when Joseph's gift was recognized. So God has placed you all right now for such a time as this. Just like when David went up against Goliath, why he'd been trained all those years how to use a sling. Okay? Such a time as this. You're ready for such a time as this. Do I know the end times are coming? Yes, I do. Okay? By the way, we must prepare and do whatever we need to do to get ready for these things. Okay? All right. Use of the power triplets. Synergistically more powerful together than the sum of all three individually. The three-stranded cord we just talked about. Okay? Now, I like to tell this story. I have a couple of cousins that make me look small. And they were really well built. And the three of us were anywhere, nobody bothered us. It just wasn't an issue at all, okay? So, what are they? They're the twins of faith and patience, and you join them with contentment. That's when promotion comes. Okay, so you're going to be content with what you have now, not going to be upset, not going to be challenged, expecting more, but still being content with what you have now. Remember, the fall of Adam and Eve was because they weren't content with what they had. They had to go for something extra they didn't have. The devil told them, you don't have this, and they had to go for it. They weren't content with where they were. Now, God would have done many things with Adam and Eve if they hadn't done that, but because they were impatient and didn't wait for God, look what happened to mankind. Okay, that's right, Karen.
You know, when we do things in our own strength, in our own power, sometimes people get burnt out, overwhelmed, confused, challenged, feeling stressed out. But when we do things in God's power, His way, renewing our mind to the Word of God, then that's when we get promoted and prosperity comes and we can do more for the kingdom of God. So we should be searching out the wisdom of God through the scriptures as we teach here at ABC. We give you all these scriptures. We teach you. We want you to grab it, make it a lifestyle, and run with it. And so when we learn to be content, how do we do that? Sometimes, you know, I hear people, all they do is complain. And then I remember about Moses' sister Miriam. She was complaining here, complaining about that. And then she got leprosy because of the complaining. And then Moses had to intervene and intercede for her, and then you know, then she was able to get healed of leprosy. But she had to repent. You got to repent. We can't be complaining all the time. You know, yes, you could say, this is like sour lemon juice. But God says, let's make lemonade out of it. And let's give it to a bunch of people instead of one little lemon for just yourself. We got to share the gospel. We got to share the good news. We have to do things so that we could be a blessing to others. Not, I want this. I need that. I have to have that. No. What are we doing this for? We are doing this for the kingdom of God. I don't want glory. You shouldn't want glory. We should give who glory? Give God all the glory. And that way we won't be discontent, because we should be grateful for what he did for us. And wait for the things that we are standing in faith for, but patiently with gratitude. Amen? So we're learning to be content. And 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil, but loving it more than loving God is what's evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That means when they seek after loving money and that becomes more important than loving God, many sorrows comes to them. And, you know, there was one of the richest men in the world, owned yachts and hospitals and whatever. And he got sick, and not one of the doctors in his hospital could cure him. So all his billions of dollars didn't help him, because he did not seek God the way that he should. He didn't know how to live that life of forgiveness. And we just need to know how to do things God's way and love God more than anything else in this life. And so it says in the Amplified Classic version of 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all evils. It is through this craving. See, it's almost like an addiction. They just want it. They just want to make more business, more money. So it's this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs. Some people have a nervous breakdown because they have too much going on, because they were seeking the wrong thing.
Okay, James 1, 2-4. Consider wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you're enveloped or encounter trials of any sort, fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. What's that word, patience? Yes. Let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play. Do a thorough work that you may be people perfectly. Now, and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Okay? Your faith and patience will do this for you. The key word is doing a thorough work here. Too many want to do the shortcut version. Do you want to buy a car and be driving it 65 miles an hour on the freeway and find that the mechanics that built that car did shortcuts on your car? I don't think so. Okay? All right? Okay. Do you want to get on an airplane? Same thing? No. You want the guys who were the best, that did thorough work, make sure everything was tightened up perfectly, correct? Okay. Whatever you're doing, do it thoroughly. You know, if you're cooking a meal, you got to do it the right way, make it come out perfect. Okay? Remember, it only takes one hole to sink a ship. Okay? So we have to be thorough in everything we do. Now, sometimes it means taking a step back. And instead of doing 10 things, do one or two things really, really well before you develop into the other area. And a lot of people are in this. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do this. You know, no. Do what you do now. Do it best. Now, Pastor Karen, an interesting anomaly here. She's a multitasker. She works on 10 things at once. They all come out great. Okay? I work on 10 things one at a time. I can do this. I can plug it away. I can do that and plug it away. And that's how it works for me. I am not trained to be like her. She's not trained to be like me. And that's fine because God made us. But we understand that about ourselves. But here's the thing. When we're done, it's a thorough, well-done job. And that's what's important. Okay? All right. 1 Timothy 6:6. Amplify Classic. And is indeed a source of immense profit, for godliness accompanied with contentment. That contentment is a sense of inward sufficiency, is great and abundant gain. My parents were not financially well off growing up. We were still very content and happy. I wouldn't trade that family growing up lifestyle for anything. It was wonderful. Because we had what really counted was love and so forth. And I had friends who had a lot more, but they didn't see their dads. Their dads were always off doing something, making money. You know, my dad worked a lot when he was around. We were together. We did things. Okay? Pastor Karen?
Philippians 4:11, Amplified Classic. Now that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content. It's a learned skill. So it's something we have to start practicing and getting better at. Even if you have learned to be content, let's try to be more content. You have to be satisfied to the point where we are not disturbed or disquieted. We are not offended at all, ever, frustrated, or upset. I'm really working on that one, and I really am asking God to help me achieve it to a greater degree, but I really am doing better. And so I have to be content in whatever state I am. We all have to do that, no matter where we're at, because that means that we're going to be thanking God for what He's already done for us, and that we're expecting with glad expectation that which we have already asked Him to do for us now. And so that is why contentment is so important. It's a faith statement. Discontentment and complaining is a fear statement. So someone who doesn't think they're going to get what God's word says becomes discontent. Someone who knows that the word of God is true, no matter how long we wait for it in faith, expecting that it's already yours, preparing to do what you plan to do when you get that goal, is a step of faith. You visualize, you imagine it. Okay, so I use this analogy a lot, but it really helps. I remind myself of this analogy when I need to walk in faith, because it helps me parallel. So one of the most fun things I had to do was when we bought a custom-made couch. I was able to go to the store, look at all the fabric samples. Do I want leather or what color or this or that? And how many sections in this sectional did I want? Did I want to order extra cushions or ottomans that matched it? And then what size and length? And where am I going to put this in the house? So I had to measure our room, because the rule is, it moves one time, and if I want to move it in another place, I have to do it myself, my husband said. So that's not happening, because I'm not as strong as he is. So I have to get this graph paper, and then I have to, you know, make sure it's matched up with the square inches on my paper, and then everything is properly designed, and I will have it, you know, I will move it around on my paper to see how I like it or where I like it. And then finally, we'll pray about it, talk about it, and then we'll decide, this is it, you know. And I'm so excited. Now, I'm doing all of this because I already put my order in. And I'm going to use this example. This, say, was a gift. Someone pre-purchased this couch, and I just get to go pick it out and figure out the delivery date, and then, you know, I'm trying to figure it out in my own, you know, strength. When is this thing going to be delivered? And I said, well, they said 10 days, so it should be delivered, you know, on this date. And then I call up, no, it's not ready yet. And so, no, it's not ready yet. No, it's not ready yet. Okay, so then am I going to sit down and cry and say, honey, there's no couch. It's not coming. This stuff doesn't work. No. It's being made in the factory. No matter if it's delayed. God's making your answer in the factory of heaven. No matter how it's delayed. And so you need to expect to receive it. What are you going to do with it? Where are you going to put it? What are you going to do when you get it? Because if you don't, then it's a fear statement that you don't trust God, that his word is true. And so your faith bridge, your bridge is the faith by which what comes from heaven gets to you, and you have blocked your faith bridge with fear and doubt and talking like, well, these affirmations don't work, forget it, I'm not going to pray. Every time I pray, it's been years, it's not working. Hey, you know, I can't tell you how long apple tree needs to grow to bear apples. I can't tell you when that bamboo shoot is going to come up. It takes 5 years for a little sprig to come up, but then it starts going like 10 feet a day or whatever, you know. Everything has a different harvest time. Doesn't mean it's not gestating and being made and created and growing and building in the spirit realm. That seed that's planted in the soil doesn't die. You don't bury it. No, it was planted so it could produce. When you pray a prayer, it is producing what you have called it into being. Don't stop it by saying it's not coming up because it's not here on my delivery time. No, it's not by my power. It's by his power. I have to be content and thank God. That is mine, and I know what I'm going to do with it for him and his glory, not for mine. So you need to learn contentment. Ask the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you be content, or more content.
Well, I always remember that when Daniel prayed, it took, you know, 21 days, I think it was, for the angel to get to him. Sometimes things aren't instantaneous. There are powers against us that we have to work through, okay? Now, this is something very important. Part 3C, wait upon the Lord. God says, I will restore or replace for you the year that the locust hath eaten. So whatever time you feel is being wasted, God's going to replace it anyway, so don't worry about it, okay? It's not our plan. God knows things we don't know. Now, as you know, I'm a sports fan, and this last year, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, and the quarterback was Jalen Hurts. Now, he's a Christian, and he was on the championship team for the Alabama Crimson Tide. 1 year, he had led them through the whole season, but the first half of the championship game, he just had a bad first half. And the coach took him out, put the other quarterback in. The other quarterback played fantastic and won the game. Okay? Now, it was pretty obvious that the quarterback that went in the second half would be the starting quarterback the next season. Now, Jalen had a choice to do. He either A, stay there and probably ride the bench, which means he wouldn't have been seen by a lot of pros the way he wanted to be seen, or go somewhere else. So he had to step down and went over to Oklahoma, which is not a ranked school, not doing as well, but he was still able to play. Because he was able to play, he did get drafted in the NFL, and eventually came back and won the Super Bowl. Now, which would you rather have, a college championship ring or a Super Bowl ring? Okay? Devout Christian. And the chaplain for the Philadelphia Eagles says, Jalen never misses a Bible study. His faith is in God. He put his faith in God when it looked like, maybe, oh, I got benched, I'm not going to make it. That's not what he did. God, what do you want me to do? Now, there's two things that could have happened. God could have said, I want you to stay here, in which case he knew there'd be an opportunity to play somewhere down the road, or God could tell him to move where he did. This is the way things work, okay? Another great quarterback was Kurt Warner for the L.A. Rams back in the day, okay? Great quarterback, didn't get a break, nothing worked for him. They finally gets a chance. He's a second string quarterback for the Rams. First string quarterback goes down, gets hurt. He takes the Rams to the Super Bowl. Huge success story. Another man of faith. Why? They believe God, listen to God, do what God tells them to do. Okay? All right. So, number 3, wait upon the Lord with patience, expecting to be set free from the challenges of the past. We've all had our challenges. We've all made mistakes. How do I know this? We're human. We have an enemy called Satan. It's that simple, okay? Wait upon the Lord with patience, expecting to have a better future regardless of the great challenges and circumstances you face that may seem overwhelming. Now, anybody been in a job that was just horrific? It's horrible. The boss is horrible. Things have changed around. But you can't quit because you still need that monthly or weekly paycheck, right? What do you do? Do the best you can do while you're there. Perform exceptionally. Then ask God, what do you want me to do? He may either A, bring you another opportunity and go somewhere else where you're celebrated, not tolerated, or somebody changes that company. Maybe the management gets taken out and new management comes in that we're expecting. We don't know. God does. The key word is listen to God and follow what he has to say. Patiently. He has his timing for things. Okay? Number five, wait upon the Lord with patience, expecting new doors to open when windows have closed. Okay? Every time something goes wrong, God's going to take care of it. Better than before. Okay? Wait, Lord, patience, expecting, although everything around you seems challenging and depressing, that God will restore or replace what the devil has taken from you. Now, when you've lost something, home, job, whatever it is, God will restore better to you if you stay with him. Don't go grumbling, like Miriam, like Pastor Karen said. Don't go complaining. Stay the faith. Stay the pace. He will take care of it. And now that is Job. He lost everything. But when they wanted him to quit and curse God, he wouldn't. And God replaced him with so much more. Okay?
Number eight, wait upon the Lord with patience, expecting positive change even though it doesn't seem likely. It doesn't matter what it looks like, seems like, feels like, even if you're experiencing challenges of pain or negative symptoms, those are lies of the devil, then still have your expectors out there. They're like spiritual antennas waiting to receive that shipment. And so you wait upon the Lord with patience, expecting prosperity. Even if there's a time of economical challenges, it doesn't matter because our God owns everything. It doesn't matter what's happening on the earth. Our provision comes from him. Number 10, wait upon the Lord with patience, expecting divine protection and provision during the end times. Now, someone says to me, well, I pray for protection every single day, but something bad really happened. Well, you know, Apostle Joshua always taught us that you have to make sure that you identify sins, because sin can open the door for the enemy to attack us, and then it cancels our prayers because you have now left the kingdom of God walking not in faith, because anything that's not of faith is sin. So that can open up the door and have a breach. So one-time prayers aren't always the solution if you're in sin. So until you learn not to sin, then we need to continue to confess our sins when we have a sin, when we do something that is against the Word of God. And that way, you will always be divinely protected as soon as you repent, come back under the covering of God, and then the provision will be there because you've come back under that protection with faith, not with fear, with expectation. Not with discontentment, but with contentment, with your faith and your patience and your contentment. That is the triple cord that cannot easily be broken. So that's what it truly means to wait upon the Lord correctly.
Now let's put this in perspective. We're talking about Resurrection Sunday today. Jesus had to wait until it's time to be crucified. He didn't do it early. He didn't do it late. He did exactly on God's timing. And then, instead of being poof, resurrected right away, he had to wait the 3 days. He had to wait until God was ready. If you read the scriptures, Jesus always went and consulted with his Father. He did only what his Father told him to do. And that's what we're saying for you to do. Let's consult with our Father and do what he tells us to do. And when you do that, victories are going to be immensely for you. All right? Now, we're going to affirm this by speaking the Word of God over ourselves. The Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. So we're going to part 4D, wait with glad expectations to get power, promotion, prosperity, and perfection. So we're going to incorporate these truths into our lifestyle. So repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I wait upon you, Lord.
I wait upon you, Lord.
I expect.
I expect.
Look for.
Look for.
And hope in you.
And hope in you.
I continually renew.
I continually renew.
My strength and power.
My strength and power.
I mount up with wings.
I mount up with wings.
As eagles.
As eagles.
I will run.
I will run.
I will not be weary.
I will not be weary.
When I walk.
When I walk.
I shall not faint.
I shall not faint.
Or become tired.
Or become tired.
Okay. Repeat after me, please. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
God promotes.
God promotes.
Prospers.
Prospers.
And perfects.
And perfects.
Because he helps me.
Because he helps me.
To operate in faith.
To operate in faith.
Patience.
Patience.
And contentment.
And contentment.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I decree.
I decree.
That my prayers.
That my prayers.
Have been answered.
Have been answered.
I have new victories.
And I have new victories.
Because I wait upon you, Lord.
Because I wait upon you, Lord.
With glad expectation.
With glad expectation.
For power.
For power.
Promotion.
Promotion.
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
And perfection.
And perfection.
Praise the Lord.
Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Let's praise him. We praise you,
praise
Lord.
You, Lord Jesus.
We praise you, Lord.
Jesus.
We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for resurrecting Jesus. We thank you for dying for us on the cross. Hallelujah. We have glad expectation. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you that everybody here receives this message today and that they expect their victories, their breakthroughs. They expect their challenges to be totally overcome, but they will wait upon you to lead them and guide them how to do it using your power, not their own power, but your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's do our communion now. If you have the elements, fantastic. If not, we'll do it by faith, okay? Now, if you know of any sins, confess them now. If not, please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I am not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We remember what you, Jesus, did for us. We're reminded of the great price that you paid for us on the cross. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're reminded that Jesus paid the ultimate price for each of us. We thank you, God, for your plan that redeemed us so we can be with you forever. We also remember that we are not our own. We've been bought with the price that Jesus paid for you and for me. So please repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We thank you.
We thank you.
That Jesus himself.
That Jesus himself.
Bore our sins.
Bore our sins.
In his own body.
In his own body.
On the tree.
On the tree.
That we.
That we.
Having died to sins.
Having died to sins.
Might live for righteousness.
Might live for righteousness.
By whose stripes.
By whose stripes.
We were healed.
We were healed.
And I receive healing.
And I receive healing.
For every part.
For every part.
Of my body.
Of my body.
Let's take and eat the body now. In Jesus' name.
And we agree and receive in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 11:25-26 says, in the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We remember that cup of blessing was poured out on the cross at Calvary when Jesus died for you and me. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on that tree when your blood was shed for payment to redeem us eternally and make us a way to be a part of your heavenly Father and your family tree. Please repeat this prayer with me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That we can partake of the blood of Jesus.
That we partake of the blood of Jesus.
That was payment for our redemption.
That was payment for our redemption.
We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
That you are our resurrected King.
That you are our resurrected King.
Lord and Lord Savior.
And Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We partake now.
All right, these are our 20 affirmations, 1 Peter 2:24. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.